There's a lot of truth to that song. Amen. You'll not find anything worth praising like our Lord. He's the ultimate and worthy to be praised. Amen. I'm glad that he's revealed himself to us. We've not been left in darkness. He's shown the beautiful gospel on our pathway. That's a lot to be thankful for. That's something to really thank the Lord for, to have the truth, to know the beautiful truth of the full plan of salvation. Praise the Lord. Let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Acts, chapter 19. And we're going to read a few verses here that are very familiar to most Pentecostals. It's good to see all of you this beautiful day. Hey, this is better than that snow, cold. Amen. I've always loved springtime. It's such a good time. We'll probably have a few more cold days, but I love this beautiful weather. Acts chapter 19, verse 1. Very interesting passage of scripture. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus. And finding certain disciples, he said unto them, Have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? And they said unto him, We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, Unto what then were you baptized? And they said, Unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. Praise the Lord. God bless you. You may be seated. I'm going to be speaking on the subject, Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? The people that the Apostle Paul encountered here in the area of what we call today Turkey, the city of Ephesus, they were believers of some sort, but they had not received the Holy Ghost. But I want you to notice when they did get the Holy Ghost, it's very important to notice that they spake with tongues and prophesied. Now, the subject of tongues is one that's been discussed by a lot of people, a lot of denominations, a lot of churches believing, getting the Holy Ghost and speaking in tongues. But some churches don't. There are some denominations, they don't believe in speaking in tongues. And believe me, if you would go into one of their services and start speaking in tongues, one of the ushers would tell you to leave. They'd motion you. They'd usher you out. They would not want you speaking in tongues at all. But now the subject of speaking in tongues is one that it comes from the Bible now. That's where we get it, speaking in tongues. It comes from the Bible. And Isaiah was one of those that spoke about and prophesied about speaking in tongues. And he lived and ministered during the reigns of the kings Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah. And he was right about 700 years before Jesus Christ. But he prophesied about speaking in tongues. In Isaiah chapter 28, verse 11 and 12, For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, to whom he said, This is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. He was talking about speaking in tongues when he said, With stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people. It was a prophecy about this event of speaking in tongues. Then again, in chapter 59, verse 21, this is the Lord speaking. He says, "As for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. My spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth, shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forever." It's a beautiful thing to have this beautiful promise that this Holy Ghost experience will come upon our children. I'm glad, aren't you? Amen. My dad got the Holy Ghost, and he was in Little Rock, Arkansas when he got it. It's kind of funny. When he got the Holy Ghost that night, he went to get back on the streetcar, and they had what they call a conductor on the streetcar. And Dad said that he was still under the effects of the Holy Ghost, and he started to tell the conductor where he wanted to go, and he started speaking in tongues, and the conductor thought he was drunk. Amen. Well, that passed down to me and my sister, Sister Foster, and it happened to me and her, and then our children are getting the Holy Ghost, and it's a wonderful thing that it's been passing down now to the third generation and even to the fourth generation. My son in California, Stanley, he got the Holy Ghost, and his children, all three of his children, have gotten the Holy Ghost. And my sister, some of her children have gotten the Holy Ghost, and some of her grandchildren have gotten the Holy Ghost. So it's just like the Bible says. Amen. And then Ezekiel, the prophet, he was over in the land of Babylon. He was one of those that was carried away in captivity, and he was by the river Chebar, which was really what we would call an irrigation ditch. But he was ministering to those captives in the land of Babylon, and he was somewhere along in the, well, if you remember, Jerusalem was destroyed in 586 B.C., and he was one of them that was carried away. So he was over there in the over 500 years before Jesus Christ, and he said in Ezekiel 36:26, "A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments, and do them." Praise the Lord. Now, he doesn't mention about speaking in tongues, but he does talk about the outpouring of the Spirit. So we know that this was something that God was planning for hundreds of years before Jesus Christ came. And then in Joel 2:28, that famous scripture that the Apostle Peter actually quoted on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Ghost did come, Joel 2:28, it says, "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions." Well, I guess I'm not getting old yet because I'm not doing much dreaming. But anyway, Joel was talking about people getting the Holy Ghost. I'm so glad. I'm so glad because it's something that gives not only salvation, but it gives a joy in life. Praise the Lord. It gives a happiness. Praise the Lord. It gives a happiness. And there's nothing like having that beautiful joy with you all the time, the happiness of the presence of God. So all these prophecies that we've been reading about, people getting the Holy Ghost, being filled with the Spirit, speaking in other tongues, I'm so glad that there's just not one book that tells about it. but there's several books in the Bible. It wasn't just one prophet that spoke about it, but there were several that spoke about people getting the Holy Ghost. And we're covering now the subject of the prophecies about the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. And, of course, John the Baptist came, and he was before Jesus Christ. He was a forerunner. And he very clearly told the people in Matthew chapter 3, verse 11, John the Baptist very clearly told the people, he says, "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me," he's talking about Jesus, "he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." Praise the Lord. Now, this was still a prophecy because it hadn't happened yet. John the Baptist was telling the people that they would get filled with the Holy Ghost. And then in Luke chapter 11, verse 13, Jesus was talking to the people one day during his earthly ministry. He says, "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him?" Amen. I'm so glad that our Lord does give the Holy Ghost. Oh, it's such a beautiful thing. I remember when I got it, it was a life-changing experience for me. And believe me, I've never been the same. But it gave a joy. It gave a joy that this world just cannot understand, cannot duplicate. Nothing in this world is going to give you joy like getting filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. In John chapter 7, verse 38, Jesus himself was speaking again. He said, "He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified." There are some that, some denominations, as I mentioned, they don't believe in getting the Holy Ghost. They don't believe in getting filled with the Holy Ghost and speaking in tongues like the Bible describes. And they'll do all kinds of, what other word can I use? They'll do all kinds of somersets and flipping over backwards and all kinds of crazy explanations in an effort to avoid facing the truth that they need the Holy Ghost. They'll do all kinds of acrobatics to try to avoid admitting they need the Holy Ghost. And when the person really digs the scriptures out, they'll find that it is something that's taught in the Word of God. Now, you're a parent, most of you, and you know the love that a parent has for their child. And one time Jesus even spoke about that, how that if a child asks for a piece of bread, you're not going to give him a stone. You're not going to trick him and give him something bad. And Jesus brought out how that your heavenly Father is not going to give you something bad. He's going to give you something good. The Lord loves you. The Lord loves you. And so when he gives the Holy Ghost, it's not something that a person needs to be scared of. The Holy Ghost is a wonderful gift from Almighty God. And so God's only going to give you something good. Now, the devil will give you something bad, but the Lord is going to give you something good. So a person doesn't have to be scared of the Holy Ghost. Many times people will come into a service and they've never been around where the Spirit of God is moving, and they can feel the presence of God, and so it's a little frightening to them. But in reality, God's going to be better to you than the best parent could be. Amen. Your Lord is going to be good to you, better than any person could be. Amen. So believe it. It's a good thing to get the Holy Ghost. You don't have to be scared of it. And some people are. And I can understand to some extent how that when they're not used to the moving of the Spirit of God, it can be a little bit alarming to them, to the old carnal human nature. But believe me, it's a good thing. It's a wonderful thing. Amen. I'm so glad he did. Now, if you'll notice, Jesus said, it says here in the scripture that I just read to you, but this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. So he was glorified after his resurrection from the dead. Okay? He told Mary that had come to the tomb after his resurrection, he told her, don't touch me, for I am not yet glorified. And so it's clear that that glorification, and there's some there that we don't understand, but whatever that glorification was that he was talking about, the Holy Ghost was not going to be poured out until that happened, according to Jesus' own words. So now let's go to John chapter 14, verse 16. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. Praise the Lord. Now, then you drop on down to verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and shall bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. So now we know that this Comforter that Jesus was talking about is the same as the Spirit of truth, and that it comes from the Lord himself. Now, I'm glad for the Comforter. Many times in life, a person will go through things, and they need that comforting presence of the Holy Ghost. It's a wonderful thing, isn't it? It's a wonderful thing to have the Holy Ghost. Now, sometimes, as I mentioned, some religious denominations, they don't believe in getting the Holy Ghost like the Bible teaches. And so they will, their ministers and teachers will have all kinds of explanations to describe someone getting the Holy Ghost. And sometimes it's, to be honest with you, it's a little bit goofy, some of their explanations. But they themselves had never received the Holy Ghost. So how are they going to know how to get the Holy Ghost? It's like asking some bachelor, what's it like to have a baby? Now, our brother here would probably have a theory. That's all it would be, is a theory. But now, if you want to really know what it's like to have a baby, let me tell you, you need to ask somebody like this lady back here. Aunt Lou, how many sisters, how many babies have you had?
Four.
She's had four babies. Now, if you want to know what it's like to have a baby, you need to ask a woman that's had several babies. They can tell you what it's like to have a baby. Now, asking some guy that's never had the Holy Ghost, some teacher or preacher that's never had the Holy Ghost, never received it, asking him or listening to his description of getting the Holy Ghost makes about as much sense as asking a bachelor what it's like to have a baby. You need to ask somebody, some lady that's had several babies what it's like to have a baby. And the same when it comes to getting the Holy Ghost. You've got to ask somebody that's received it. They know what it's like to get the Holy Ghost. Amen. They know what it's like to get, all of a sudden, get overwhelmed with the Spirit of God moving upon them. So you've got to ask a Pentecostal. Pentecostals believe in getting the Holy Ghost. Amen. When you've seen a lot of people getting the Holy Ghost, you've got a pretty good idea what it's like. When you've received it yourself, you can give a good explanation. Praise the Lord. So you've got to ask somebody that knows what they're talking about, not somebody that's trying to defend a denominational belief that's not really according to the Bible. You've got to find somebody that knows what it's like. Amen. It can give you the scriptures that the Bible's talking about. These scriptures that I've given you today explicitly talk about getting the Holy Ghost. I have not twisted the scriptures. I've not used something else. But I've given you exactly what the scriptures say. Now in John chapter 20, verse 19. It's right after Jesus rose from the dead. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. They realized he had really risen from the dead. Then said Jesus unto them, to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. He breathed on them and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Now, there are some some preachers of some denominations that don't believe in getting the Holy Ghost like the Bible describes. They have actually said, oh, this is where the disciples got the Holy Ghost. Remember that scripture that I read a few moments ago? For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, for Jesus was not yet glorified. Okay? But then also, going on over into Acts, the first chapter, Acts chapter 1, verse 4. Now, this is immediately after Jesus had risen from the dead. Some time had passed now. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence, or not too many days from now. Praise the Lord. Ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times are the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Now, they still hadn't received the Holy Ghost. It's obvious. They still had not received the Holy Ghost, and now he ascends up into heaven. Well, they do go back to Jerusalem, and they are there for about a week praying, seeking God, and then the Holy Ghost comes upon them. Praise the Lord. Well, speaking in tongues is a real, authentic experience with God. Amen? It's a real thing. It's not something that's manufactured. Now, obviously, people can pretend like they're speaking in tongues. You did it when you were a little child. You blabbered away. Didn't mean anything. Anybody can pretend like they're speaking some other language. But the real thing is precious. It's wonderful. The real thing is wonderful. You don't have to be scared of the real thing. Praise the Lord. Now, the second chapter of the book of Acts tells about the real thing. There, they got the Holy Ghost. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. It was the Spirit of God that moved upon them, and they started speaking in other tongues. Now, a person might ask, what are they saying when they're speaking in other tongues? Well, it explains over there in the next few verses, verse 11. It mentions a whole bunch of different nationalities that these Jews had come from where they were living. They were all gathered there in the city of Jerusalem on that Jewish feast day called the Day of Pentecost. And that's when the Holy Ghost came on that Jewish feast day. And all these Jews were there, and it mentions a whole bunch of different nationalities. Cretes, Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongue the wonderful works of God. You ever wonder what somebody's talking about, what they're saying when they're speaking in tongues? That's what they're saying. They're talking about the wonderful works of God. Praise the Lord. That's what they're saying. Maybe you've wondered, what are they saying? Then also in John chapter 15, verse 26, Jesus said, and when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. So when a person's getting the Holy Ghost, they're telling how wonderful God is. They're worshiping him. They're telling how great he is. Now, I can speak Spanish. My wife and I, we read the Bible every night in Spanish. And it took me a year of good, hard study at the language school in San Jose, Costa Rica, to learn Spanish. And then I've spent nearly 40 years since practicing it. So I know how hard it is to learn another language. You don't just learn it in a few seconds. No way. Learning another language is a hard job, and Spanish is one of the easiest. But now, when a person gets filled with the Holy Ghost and they start speaking in other tongues, it happens instantly. And they may not know what they're speaking. They probably don't. But it's a spirit telling how wonderful God is, praising the Lord, telling forth the wonderful works of God, and testifying about Jesus. Amen. I had a couple of experiences that are interesting. I was there in the church in Quito, Ecuador, and the altar service was going on after the service, and there was this lady that was worshiping the Lord, and all of a sudden it hit me. She was speaking English. I mean, I was so used to English all my life, it took me a few seconds to realize, hey, she doesn't even know English. She was worshiping the Lord in pure old Southeast Missouri English. And what she was saying was just exactly what the Bible says. She was telling how wonderful the Lord is. And then the same thing happened when I was in San Diego. After a service, everybody was worshiping the Lord. We were having a great time. And I realized there was this lady there, and she was speaking in Spanish. And I knew the lady well, and I know she did not know Spanish. She was just worshiping the Lord. And here again, she was saying how wonderful the Lord is, praising Him in beautiful Spanish. Now, you don't do that through your own carnal nature. That's an impossibility to do that. So it took God to do that. Praise the Lord. I'm so glad. There was a man that I got to know a little bit out in California a number of years ago, about this wide. Paul Gregory. If there was ever a preacher that was a character, it was Paul Gregory. He was a character. Brother Bill, did you ever meet Paul Gregory? Okay. I think he probably passed away before you would have come on the scene, but he was a character. And pastored a good church, built a good church. Anyway, when he got the Holy Ghost, Paul Gregory was in New York City. And he went to the church on 92nd Street, which I've been to. It's a good church. That church at one time was pastored by Andrew Urshan. And he was the father of Nathan Urshan. But anyway, when Paul Gregory got the Holy Ghost, it was there at that church. And he was laying out on the floor, jabbering away, speaking in tongues. The back door opened, and a fella stuck his head in, and he was wearing one of those little Jewish skull caps like they wear the Jews. What do they call those? Yarmulke or something like that? Anyway, he was obviously a Jewish fella, and he came in kind of cautiously, and he asked someone there, he says, is this a synagogue? They said, no, this is a Pentecostal church. And he said, where did that guy learn Hebrew? And they said, he doesn't know Hebrew. The guy said, oh, yeah, he's speaking Hebrew. And they said, he's getting the Holy Ghost. And the Jewish guy looked at him for a while and kind of stumbled out of the building. He was muttering, I don't understand. I don't understand. Well, praise the Lord. That's the power of God moving upon a person. And if you ever receive the Holy Ghost, don't pass up the best thing that this life has available for you. Praise the Lord. We'll be taking a break here for a few moments, but I'm telling you, when we start our service again here at 1 o'clock, it'll be a good time to get the Holy Ghost today. This is a beautiful day to get the Holy Ghost, and it's available for everyone that really seeks God with a hungry heart. God bless you. We're going to take a little break. But if you don't have the Holy Ghost, purpose in your heart, you'll get it this morning, this for this next service. Praise the Lord. God bless you.